To prove his claims about corporate moral responsibility, Tim Keller cites three passages: Joshua 7, Daniel 9, Romans 5. Keller asserts that these three prove that moral responsibility can sometimes only be rightly understood as corporate rather than individual. That or the entire biblical narrative breaks down, and our Christian understanding of God and ourselves along with it, etc. In Joshua 7, an Israelite named Achan takes plunder and hides it under his tent in disobedience to God's command. When the plunder is found, Achan's entire household receives the death penalty as punishment for their sin. Tim Keller alleges that Western people, especially white Americans, object to this because Achan's family is presumably innocent. On the contrary, Keller says Achan's family was put to death, along with Achan, because they had contributed to his guilt by shaping the kind of person he ended up being. They allowed him to be that sort of person. Therefore, Achan's family is complicit in his sin by serving as a major influence in the development of the bad character which enabled Achan to justify disobeying the clear command from God. But not so fast. The text does not say what Keller says it says. As with writing the word social into the margins of his Bible every time he reads justice, Keller is eisegeting once again. He is reading his own interpretation into the narrative, then insisting that his view is what the text asserts. But that is just not so. To be clear, Joshua 7 does not provide lengthy justification for Achan's family being put to death. Yet, considering the totality of Scripture, it is probable that Achan's family assisted Achan in committing this particular sin, perhaps by helping him hide the plunder. Just so, the driver of the getaway car is an accessory to the bank heist. Yet, if Achan's family was put to death for Achan's sin, how does that not contradict Deuteronomy 24:16? There we read, quote, "Fathers shall not be put to death because of their children, nor shall children be put to death because of their fathers. Each one shall be put to death for his own sin," end quote. Moving on, in Daniel 9, Tim Keller says the prophet Daniel confesses sins and repents for, and says it's his responsibility to repent for sins that his ancestors did that he did not do at all. Yet from whence comes this confident assertion that Daniel did not commit the sins he repented of here? Does the text say as much? No, it does not. What if Daniel is repenting on behalf of the nation because he is God's prophet explaining the narrative for us? Yet Keller marches on, undeterred. Quote, "When I lived in the South, I heard white people say, 'Yeah, it's a shame what slavery did, but I never owned any slaves, so why in the world does anybody think that I as a white person now had any responsibility to that community over there at all? I didn't own any slaves,'" end quote. This is a classic bait and switch. Keller tells us Daniel repented of the sins of his nation, but we do not know whether Daniel was individually guilty of those sins also. He may have been. But before we can think too long about that, Keller quickly changes the subject to white people who never owned any slaves and black people who never picked any cotton. Therefore, all white Americans should repent of the sin of slavery. Never mind that another assumption has stealthily slipped into Keller's eisegetical march toward social justice. This assumption is that slavery was a sin. Yet, if slavery was a sin in and of itself, why does Keller not point us to the book, chapter, and verse that says so? He does not because he cannot. Broadly speaking, slavery was not in and of itself a sin. God never prohibited it. Indeed, God even made room for it in the law of Moses. In Romans 5, the Apostle Paul explains the doctrine of original sin. Because of Adam eating the forbidden fruit in Eden, which God had prohibited, the whole human race fell. Consequently, we all from that point forward have been born with a sinful nature. Quote, "For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ," end quote. Tim Keller takes this to mean that corporate moral responsibility is real and true and biblically just. It is unavoidable, really. Keller says, quote, "The whole structure of the gospel is based on corporate responsibility," end quote. A little later, Keller continues, quote, "If you do not understand that to some degree, Western people and white people in particular do not realize to what degree they filter out all kinds of things the Bible says. They just do not see them or they resist them because of that individualism. It is not biblical. It is not gospel," end quote. Here again, besides an unnecessary swipe at white Americans, we have another bait and switch. It is alleged that we are corporately responsible for Adam's sin. Therefore, we are presumably responsible for all the sins of our other ancestors also. Therefore, white Americans in particular are corporately responsible for all the sins which white Americans ever perpetrated against persons of color, but especially the sins of slavery and Jim Crow. Is that how it works, though? Does the doctrine of original sin transpose so neatly into each of us being guilty of all the sins of our race? If so, it is a wonder that Keller only bothers to mention the guilt of white Americans. Moving into the second main point, Tim Keller explains what he means by systemic evil, and he lays out what he believes to be the four levels of responsibility within that concept. Thereafter, Keller uses the Holocaust as an example. There were people in charge who set up and ran the concentration camps. Then there were the civic leaders who knew what was happening in the camps but turned a blind eye. After this, there were German citizens who paid their taxes and minded their own business. What happened in the concentration camps was none of their affair. According to Keller, all of these people were complicit to varying degrees. They were all part of the evil Nazi system which imprisoned, tortured, and murdered innocent people during World War II. A question here, therefore, enters my mind. Is Keller not condemning the entire German nation as complicit in the systemic evil of the Nazi regime? But if the entire nation was guilty, then the bombing campaigns against German cities, which killed all of the above indiscriminately, were presumably legitimate. So also the entire Japanese nation, civilian men, women, and children included, were complicit in the atrocities of the Imperial Japanese military. Therefore, the atomic bombs dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki were presumably just and appropriate. Does Keller believe that?